work. Patience. Oh, sorry. Hey, look. It started working. I can do that. June can do that, but you forget about it. Mama can. Mama can. So that's another perk moms can get. I can still whip you when you're 50 years old. Four. Huh? Oh, okay. That's all right. That's fine. It didn't hurt anybody. Second Peter 1. Hush. According as his divine nature hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about life, the life that we live, and the godliness in our life. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, to patience godliness. So now we are on patience, just kind of reviewing a little bit. Now that I got this on my iPad, I can... That makes you agree. Everybody. All right. This is what I like here. Steadfastness. Constancy. Constant. Endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristics of a man. Remember, the word patience is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. The first word patience used is in like the book of Matthew. So, it's a hard thing to have. It was hard for Moses. He had patience, but this, we're talking about godly patience from the new birth, something coming from the inside and working its way out. But in the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Because remember, tribulation worketh patience. If you don't, if everything goes along just smooth and hunky-dory all the time, what would you need patience for? So I said about faith. You're not going to need faith over in glory. You're going to be faith. But we need faith now because we have to believe something we can't see. But when we can see it, I don't need faith that June is going to come to church and be born again. She's already that. I don't have to have faith for that. I have to have faith for my kids because they're not come to that point. So we got to have faith for patience. And when it comes, guess what? You add that too. Then you go again. You add that too. We were talking last Sunday about tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Because if you start into a trial, and you backslide and go out in the world or whatever you're going to do, then you know one thing's for sure. You're not steadfast, you're not constant, and you're not enduring. Paul said, I run this race. He was going to run it to win. He wasn't going to run it just to get to the halfway point. He run the race with what? Patience. That's what we must have is patience, even in our trials. Look at Noah. We were using some examples last Sunday. Look at Noah. Noah preached 120 years the same message. Now, he didn't say the same thing over and over again, but his message was, it's going to rain. You need to make a provision, get in this ark, get in this, do this. Know God for 120 years. Well, none of us even live 120 years, but he preached for 120 years. Then when God put him in the ark, it didn't instantly start raining. It was seven more days that he had to sit in that steamy, stinky ark with all them animals before one drop of rain ever fell. So Noah had to have patience. He was steadfast. I'm sure his kids, as the prophet said, his kids would say, Daddy, you sure? He said, it'll rain. It will rain. You know why? Because Noah got a revelation from God. That's the difference. When you get a revelation, you can stand on. Abraham got a revelation that he was going to have a child. Brother Brown said it was like he already had the child. That's what you and I must have faith. You say, well, I don't see anything. Well, Abraham didn't see nothing, and as his years got longer and older, it looked worse. But the Bible says he waxed stronger in faith. In other words, when he got to where he knew he couldn't do it himself, see, that's when God took over. That's what we were talking about. Somebody we were talking about the other day about persecution and things. We're not persecuted yet. So the Bible says there's ease in Zion, and that's what it is. We just so easy till the persecution's going to have to drive us or pull us into waiting on God and being perseverant. Persevere. All right? The next one, there's another one here. It's from the Greek word. Be of long spirit, not to lose heart. That's what our problem is. We lose heart sometimes because God doesn't bring it to us right then. We do. Well, that means we're impatient. Not patient. We're impatient. Now, the first thing, Brother Brown, I'm going to read you a quote today. The first thing he said to do was be patient with who? God. Not with yourself, not with your neighbor, not with your mom, dad, wife. He said, be patient with God, because that's the first man you better be patient with. Right? That's the first person you better be patient with. Because remember, Brother Brandon preached a message, running without a message. That's why he said, power without character, satanic. We've got the power. We've got the power of the word that no one on the face of the earth except Jesus Christ himself had. And listen, let me make this statement. Even Jesus had the power, but it wasn't for only him to give out, so he only had 3.5 years. He didn't have 50 years, 60 years, 80 years. He had 3.5 years to preach. 3.5 years. That's all of the most powerful message. But you and I have been given an opportunity 30, 40 years. What are we doing with it? Like I said last Sunday, you got people being in the message 30, 40 years, and you go preach for them or you make a statement, they look at you like, where'd you get that at? That shouldn't be. Our lives should be encompassed with the message. We should be able to, if somebody talks about Logos or Theophany or Genesis 1:26, and I know there's other things that needs to be revealed of all these things, but at least we should have a general knowledge that we need to be born again, and then these virtues have to be birthed into our life. Then we have to come to the faith of the fathers. Then we have to come to the headstone before there's even a change. People preach a change of the body it's just a change of the body. This is just chapstick. Well, no, there was a process to get this chapstick. It wasn't born inside this tube. Man had to put the chemicals together. He had to put all these things together. He had to manufacture the tube. He had to get this stuff in it before it became chapstick. Same way with the message. The message is not just given just to say, well, one day the body's going to be changed. I don't believe that. I believe there's a step. Brother Brown said God had a plan and a purpose. Well, you know what a plan and a purpose is? You sit down and you map out what you're going to do. That's a plan. And the purpose was, is he was going to have me and you become into the image of God. It's true. Power is the new birth. That's right. That's correct. Because you take examples of, I was reading it the other day where Paul had a contention with Peter. Paul had a contention with Barnabas. They were all born again people. Peter had all these virtues in his life, but yet he had a problem because Paul had to call him down on something. We still have that human nature that we have to deal with. All right, and Brother Branham talked about the preacher that said, I'm not preaching anymore. I'm just going to go get some beer and just, you know, in other words, well, you know, Brother Branham never called him lost. He said God took his son home so he wouldn't mar his name, that he got a devil on him. He got a devil on him, and that devil drove him to do that, but yet he was still born again. Because remember, we have that dualness. We have the spirit of ourself, and we have I like what Brother Altig said one time, and it really strikes, if you'll listen to what he was saying, listen with some understanding. He said the soul is telling you one thing, but that spirit lays so close to that soul till it filters. It filters through that spirit and it gets diluted. Because if you're born again, why do we still do things wrong or bad? Or I'm not talking about If you do things, you know, if you commit adultery, then I would assume you do it two or three times, you lost. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So you're lost. If you keep doing something that you're not supposed to do, and forgive me, Lord, only works maybe one or two times. Forgive me, Lord, don't work. I smoked that cigarette yesterday. Well, forgive me, Lord. And then 2 weeks later, well, I smoked another cigarette. Forgive me, Lord, I smoked another. Well, forget that. Don't work. You're lost. Get born again. All right. But now, when we're talking about these, we're talking about a born again person. But that memory, reason, conscience, and affection lays so close to that soul, till it filters or dilutes what God says. Remember, Brother Brown said his flu, your flus get stopped up. Look at Abraham. I mean, look at Adam. Adam was a if you would say anybody had a pure mind, Adam had a pure mind, right? Adam didn't have the cares of the world, and he didn't have a job to worry about, and he didn't have, at that time, a bunch of kids to worry about. It was just him and his wife. What'd he do? As a son of God, as a being a representative of Christ on earth, what'd he do? Sold the whole human race out. We put it all on Eve, but Adam's the one that sold us out. And when I know what he did, he sold us out because of love. But he still sold us out. He still took his wife back that had been with the beast. Now, that would be kind of hard for us to do. You understand what I'm saying? But patience. Have long, be long-suffering. I think this is a lot of our problem is that we're not patient. But I promise you one thing. When God knocks all the props out and he says, I'm going to do something, then that's when you got to have patience with God. That's what Abraham did. Abraham could produce, with Hagar, he could produce an Ishmael. So in other words, let's be plain, he could sexually reproduce, even when he was 70. But as he got closer to the 99, he knew he couldn't. And he knew Sarah was dead before, her womb was dead before, when they first got married, because they never had children. So it come to the very total impossibility that one day Abraham just said, I just believe he said the whole time, he said, God, obviously I can't produce this. You're going to have to come on the scene and do it. Well, that's exactly what you and I are going to have to do, is we're going to say, God, we can't produce this. There's no way we can, you know, amass enough money, and people want to start putting up this and putting up silver and gold. And I was reading an article yesterday, on the internet, that within 25 years, gold may be worthless. Because man will be able to almost reproduce gold, and it will make true real gold almost worthless in 25 years. So what are you going to do with that? Well, God's going to put them on the streets, and we're going to walk on them. But man kills each other for it. And we're going to, you know, that's what, remember the old saying about Peter? You know, he come up to the gate, and Peter said, what do you got? And he said, oh, I got he brought a bag of gold with him when he died. And Peter said, oh, you brought pavement. So that's what it is. I mean, to God, gold is pavement. You know, something to walk on. But see what God's doing. He's letting man break into God's laboratory. He's letting man try to reproduce something to make us live longer, to make us do this. Sorry, we're all dying. We're all getting older. We're all proving that every day of our life. So let's have patience. Let's persevere. Even Paul, the great apostle Paul, the great ones back then, Peter, I think they longed to see the coming of the Lord. But remember, it was revealed to Paul that the Lord wasn't coming in his time. It was revealed to him. So Paul knew that he had to run a race with patience, preaching every service, knowing that he was going to go by the grave. He wasn't going to see the resurrection while he was still alive, right? Yeah. He had a revelation. Remember that Brother Brown said that the two brothers, I can't remember their name, but they were preaching that the resurrection was past, and they got somebody else. But they were preaching that the resurrection had passed. Well, who'd they get it from? They got it from Paul, because Paul gets up and he preaches a resurrection in Christ. They took it as a literal resurrection, and he had to condemn it. He said, no, don't. It's not going to happen now. Put that away. Don't do that. Like Brother Branham, when the seals were open, he said, go on with the same simple message. This is not even for you. This is, in other words, it's gone from you. This is for another generation. Well, what patience did that man have for two more years? He preached his heart out, knowing that nobody was getting it, sitting where he was preaching, But he knew, he had patience that a future generation was going to come up that was going to take what he said and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. So he had patience. I've always wondered, you know, you being a minister, and I think I'm preaching now instead of doing Sunday school. But as a minister, you want to think when you preach to 100 people that at least 99 get it. That's being optimistic. But having patience, you know that only about 20% is going to get it. Hoping that the other 80, God will deal with your heart. And you understand what I'm saying. Well, think about Brother Branham preaching to hundreds and thousands. And he knew by their spirit they weren't getting it. He knew by their spirit they were there. Ask Brother George Canada. Well, not ask him, but ask Joseph to tell you what Brother George said about going to the services. Brother Mode even. They testified. We went to see the signs and wonders. Didn't even matter what was being said. I'm sure they shouted and praised the Lord and said, Brother Ram, that's a good message. Waiting for the signs and wonders to come. They were looking at the signs and wonders. They didn't see the message. So Brother Branham knew they weren't seeing the message. That's why the angel of the Lord said, Brother Branham, quit explaining it. Quit trying to explain it. That, you know what I believe he was saying? Look, this is the bait on the hook, but this is not your message. Right. It's the bait on the hook, but it's not your message. This is not your message. Don't quit trying to teach the Pentecostal babies supernatural things. He was wanting to get into a supernatural realm. Well, what about patience? That's what I'm talking about, patience. Brother Branham, I'd have just quit. If the Lord revealed to me in 1963 that nobody's going to get this message, nobody's going to get it. You're going to preach it. It's going to be on tape, but another group's going to get it. What patience? That made that man get up every day and do the same thing. He preached just as hard after 63 as he did before 63. So it bothered him in his humanity, but he had patience. He endured until God got finished with him, and then he knew that he was going to have to go because the great one, Jesus Christ, was going to take over. So,
I think Brother Branham knew that he had to plant those seeds.
Sure.
For that seed,
right.
That the
well, he read the scripture just like we do. It didn't say one messenger was going to do it all. Said you had to have a fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. Well, now, he was a prophet. You go over there to Revelations 10:7. When the book was taken out of the hand, it wasn't taken out of the seventh angel messenger's hand. Read it. John took the book out of the angel's hand that came down and put one foot on land on sea. Who was that? Christ. Brother Branham was injected in there as the introducer to take Christ and you, John being the type of the bride, take you and Christ and bring the two together, just like he took the tree off of the oneness and took the tree off the Trinity, put them together. And it grew into a big tree. Well, that's what he was doing. He was taking Revelations 10:7 and interjected, showing that there had to come a messenger to reveal Christ to John. And then John went and took the book out of the hand of the angel. He didn't take the book out of Brother Branham's hand, which took it from the angel. Now, we know that you got to put the two together. We would have never got it, but John took the book from the angel. So Brother Branham can't give you a revelation. He can't. Brother Branham cannot give you, I can't give you a revelation. Brother Dale can't give you a revelation. He can try his best to get you in a channel to where God can give you a revelation. That's correct. That's what he was doing. He was storing up the food, knowing that he would not be the one to eat it. He was storing up food for future generation, which is here. And we're not going to get to our text. All right. Luke 21:17, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. So their faith at the bottom of the pyramid is access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hebrews 6, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto what? Unto the end. So there we go. We talk enduring. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, God didn't just give him the baby right off. He patiently endured for 25 years of troubles and moving around and I'm sure heartaches, because he was a man. He wasn't anything real special. He just believed God. Hebrews, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations. Count it joy. Thank you, Lord, that this is falling apart. That's kind of contrary to what we, want, but look, knowing this. Now look, my brethren, he's talking to somebody. Count it all joy when you fall in many temptations. Knowing this. See, now you gotta, if you know it, if you have a revelation, you'll see that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's what he's telling the brethren. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 5, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's been 2,000 years ago. When James wrote that, that was 2,000 years ago. Be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Wow. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, Brother Branham, here we read that one. Let me get over. Let's read right here. Fourthly, you want to add patience to your faith. If you got faith, it worketh patience, the Bible said. See, so this is patience. Now, that's the next thing that's going to build a statue, you know. God has got real material in his building. See how short we are, brethren? Sister? See why? Where we're at? Yes, sir. See, we have glory, shouts, and things because we got faith. Because we got the new birth. We have glory. We shout. We thank the Lord. Hey, you're eternal. You're just as eternal as God is, but God's not, that's not what he wants all the time. He wants us to grow up. But when we come down to these things here, God can't build us into that stature. See, he can't. He can't? No, he can't. You gotta let him. You gotta let him. God's not gonna give you anything that you don't want. He can't make us up to that kind of a place. You say, well, that's contrary. It's got to be God. Yeah, it's God doing it. But you got to allow it. You got to open the door. We got all these other things. We fall, slide off. See, he can't build his church. Paragraph 223. Patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing is have patience with God. If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience, because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. That's all. You got patience. Say, well, I asked him last night to heal me, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh, my, what patience. God told Abraham, and 25 years later, there wasn't even one sign. He was still believing. He was patient with God, uh-huh. Put him always before you. Let him be the next crossing thing. You can't cross him, so just keep him before you. He said so. It's going to happen. See, keep him before you. That's right. Noah had patience. Yeah, Noah had real godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy this world with rain. Noah preached 120 years yet. Plenty of patience. Not even dew fell from heaven. Wasn't nothing. Just as dusty as it ever was for 120 years. But he was patient. Then, God tries your patience. That's right. God tries them. After he told Noah, now he said, Noah, I want you to go get in the ark. I'm going to run the animals in. I want you to get in. Climb way upstairs now so you can look out the top window. Now, I want you to get in there. I want you to tell these people tomorrow what I've been preaching for 120 years is going to take place. All right, you go down and tell them. Now, we know what he done. I cut that out, but you know what he done. God shut the door, and he had to wait 7 more days before it began to rain. Now, if we got it that way, add it. But if you ain't got it that way, don't try to add it. It won't work. See, we're trying to work it up. It won't work on healing. It won't work on nothing else. See, it's got to blend in with the same material. It's vulcanized too. That's right. Got to add it. Patience with God's promise. Yes, sir. Noah believed it, and he had patience with God 125 years. Next Sunday, we'll start with Moses. Let's go ahead and go and get upstairs before everybody else does. Lord bless you. Have a good week. Be careful. Pray God give you patience.